have you with us today. Both campuses of Blue Valley joining us today via a video stream. So the Ridgeview campus is looking in right now, and we always enjoy the opportunity of all of us being together. I will say to the Ridgeview campus earlier, the demon of technology foul-ups kind of jumped in, and it kind of messed up the stream for a while. If it should fail during our worship service, Pastor Steve has an interpretive dance prepared, and he will be ready to lift you to rapturous heights with his worshipful movements. But today is an interesting day in the life of our church. That's the reason we decided to join both of our campuses together. Once a year, we pull back from what is normal for us. What is normal for us during this time is to preach God's Word in what is known as an expository fashion. What that means is that we preach it systematically. We preach either large sections of Scripture or sometimes entire biblical books in the order in which the verses come. That way we believe we get free and unfiltered access to what God is actually wanting to say to us in the Word, and we will always remain true to doing just that. But we do occasionally take times where we get out of that routine to kind of celebrate what God is doing, and today is that day. We call this day a vision day, and in part because as we close out one church year and look forward to a new one, we can look back on what God has done and then look forward to what God has for us in the upcoming year. So if you're a guest here with us today, we want you to understand just about everything about today has been unusual. I'm unusual in general, but just about everything about today has been unusual, but it's also a really good day to be here because you're going to get to hear about what God has in store for us as a church. But first, let's look back on this past year and start with the important stuff. Since September the 1st of this last year, we've been privileged to see 26 people profess faith in Jesus Christ as Savior through baptism. And since September 1st, we've been blessed to have 45 folks join our church through transfer of letter or statement of faith. And so that means between our two campuses, there are 71 people who are a part of the Blue Valley family who were not a part of that family just 1 year ago. And that's good stuff, and that's worth celebrating. Now, it's not all been wonderful. We did have a period of time in the winter where our attendance dipped because the weather was bad. And you say, well, I don't remember the weather being bad this past winter. That's because you're not a pastor. See, pastors measure winter weather not based on how the weather runs from Monday through Saturday. We measure winter weather by how bad it is on Sunday. And the only two times it was bad this past year was on a Sunday. For instance, our highest attendance these past few years of any other Sunday during the year, apart from Easter Sunday, is the Sunday before Christmas. And this past year, we awoke the Sunday before Christmas. It was 10 degrees below zero. Now, honestly, look it up. It was 10 degrees below zero, and there was 2 inches of snow on the ground. And compared to the year previously, we had 456 fewer people in church that day than normal. So you all get on to me about not liking cold weather. You all are babies. I was here. I was here. But it was a really low day, and we took a long time to recover from that, and then you'll remember after the first of the year, we had kind of an ice storm. You know, they told us it would be apocalyptic. It wound up being not apocalyptic, and so we didn't have church, and so we went to church via Facebook, if you'll remember that, and got to see, if you'll remember, when the video feed dropped, my son in his pajamas readjusting the camera, if you'll remember that. That was a good time. But, so our attendance was lower for several months this past year, but these last 2 months have seen our attendance really surge over the same period last year. In fact, we had the best July average attendance we've ever had, and it looks like we're going to do the same in August. And as this room bears testimony right now, for a summer month, things are going really well. Now, we've done some other things that have helped our attendance as well. For instance, we reworked our preaching rotation so that there was more consistency on our campuses. So you didn't have to guess when you showed up on Sunday morning in general who was going to preach. There was a little more consistency in that regard. And we've also adjusted how we've worshiped campus to campus. When we started doing multi-site ministry 2.5 years ago, we attempted to make our worship services between the two campuses, to use John's language, identical twins. And what we have done since about March is we've started to work, John and Jeremy have, towards helping each campus find their unique worship voice. And so they're no longer identical twins, they're siblings. And they are both using the same principle of multi-generational worship that's important to us here at the church. So there have been those things happen. There are some other good things happening. We have been able to, at the Antioch campus, launch a ministry to Blue Valley High School, to where we fill volunteer gaps for them and things like their midday break, their lunch study hall break called Tiger Paws, and you'll get to hear more about that at the Antioch campus at the conclusion of our service and how you can sign up. At the Ridgeview campus, we have been developing some deep inroads into the area around Rolling Ridge Elementary and building into the lives of those families. As a matter of fact, someone has made it possible for us financially to be able to, listen to this, this is cool, rent an apartment in the Rolling Ridge area, out of which we will do homework huddles and some various study things so that we stay actively involved in that community. That's just super cool. That's an awesome thing. So lots of really, really good things happening. But last year I also mentioned to you some goals that we had. And one of those goals was to work more aggressively at retiring our debt. Not because our debt as a church is unmanageable. We're managed well. Pastor David and his team, our finance team, does a great job. But we wanted to retire it so we could free up budget money to expand our ministry and to think about future Blue Valley campuses. And we've done okay at that. I looked in the last 12 months, we paid down about $175,000 in principal. But at that rate, it will take another 15 or so years to retire all of it. We need to do better. About $1.6 million of that indebtedness is held over from the building of the Antioch campus, essentially, in 2001, and then about $1.2 from some other things we've done. So we've got about $2.8 million worth of debt. We need to do better and to pay that off. So please continue to give to the One Church Fund. And if any of you has in your checkbook $2.8 million, that'd be aces, okay? Another goal I mentioned was adding to our preaching team to be developing preachers so that when opportunities to have other campuses did spring up, we'd have someone ready. Even though we are video streaming today, it is not our philosophy to do it this way. First of all, we don't believe that any of us are good enough to be exported on a regular basis anywhere else than where we are. But the other reason is that we believe in live incarnational preaching. And so we always want to maintain that commitment to live preachings, but we need to have people ready. And so we added Pastor Darren to that regular rotation. And in the past year, he's met weekly with Pastor Steve and I as we have our preaching prep meetings on Mondays. And he's preached, by my count, 13 times this past year between the two campuses. And he'll get more of those same kinds of opportunities in the upcoming year. Now, a final goal I mentioned last year on this particular day was to call our church to pray more about a third campus and where that might one day be. And while God has not dropped anything in on us from the sky saying this is exactly what you should do, there have been some interesting things happen. A handful of our Antioch members who attend from Lewisburg have expressed an interest in starting an outreach in their community. We have really made an emphasis this past year of helping people understand that your primary platform for ministry is your home, and to reach out to those who are around you to build inroads relationally and to build inroads for the gospel. And so there's been some of those from Lewisburg area who really take that seriously. But when they get to the point they say, you ought to come to church with me, they say, all the way in Johnson County? That's a long way off. And so they said, is there a way maybe that we could start an outreach down here? And so, starting September 10th, a small group will start meeting in the home of Josh and Gina Williams, who I saw over here. Josh even has a blazer on today. You're big time, buddy. Josh and Gina Williams meet in their home for worship. Josh has some musical ability, and so he's going to lead the musical worship, and then they will play a live stream of the message from Antioch. on a media cart, TV, and some things that we're going to let them use. We're going to rotate our elders down there so that they'll have a pastoral presence each week. And as they grow and we begin to see the viability of what we're seeing is going to happen down there, we'll start having live preaching and in-person preaching week to week. And so the thing that you need to hear about this is we're going to see what happens. Second thing you need to hear about this, it doesn't cost us a thing. It doesn't cost us a thing. And if that continues to grow into a more full-fledged campus, it will do so in a way that is financially sustainable. So they'll be able to cover the cost of that expansion. And I just think that's really cool. 39 years ago this summer, Blue Valley Baptist Church started because some very crazy people decided to have vacation Bible school in their home down here to see if anybody would come. And when they did, they said, well, let's start a church. Now, that church had to start in the basement of a bar. Hopefully, we don't have to do that in Lewisburg, but we are excited about what will happen. And you can kind of track and see what God is up to by starting September 17th, looking at the statistics portion of the bulletin. And you will see a little group there called the Lewisburg Mission, and we'll just see what's going to happen in that regard. We're excited about that. So all in all, God is continuing to bless Blue Valley Baptist Church in some really, really cool ways. I've been here over 10 years. I'm as excited right now to be a part of this church family as I have ever been. And I say it every week, I really love getting to be one of your pastors. But none of that means that there aren't things that we need to address. And our staff has been focused really since January in preparing us in this upcoming church year to focus on one area in particular, the five habits of a Jesus follower. Now, it has been 8 years this coming September since you heard me say for the first time, a follower of Jesus is someone who surrenders their earthly and eternal life to Jesus, who sustains their walk with Jesus by the power he supplies, who sacrifices their time, talents, and resources in following Jesus, and who shines with the love and life of Jesus, therefore gaining the opportunity to share their story of following Jesus with others. And so a follower of Jesus cultivates five habits in their life: the habit of surrender, the habit of sustain, the habit of sacrifice, the habit of shine, and the habit of share. Those are the five habits of a Jesus follower. And here's what we began to notice as a staff. We began to notice that our church family knew the five habits, kind of. So if I came up to you and said very quickly, what are the five habits of a Jesus follower? You'd go, sustain, sacrifice, shine, soup, and salad. I mean, you knew there were five S's, but you couldn't get all of them. You might be able to get three or four, maybe you could get five, but even if you could get five, we noticed that many in our church family, and this is key, still didn't know what they were supposed to do with those very important words. And for the handful who did have some kind of idea about what they were supposed to do with those words, they were pressing us saying, we need more help in living these out. And if that is a problem at this church, that's a real problem, because we claim that our vision as a church is to glorify God by helping people understand what it means to follow Jesus by using the five habits of a Jesus follower. Those are just empty words if we do not know what those five habits are or what we are to do with them. So our goal for the coming year, and understand, we never set numerical goals, we never set anything like that. Our goal for the coming year is to deeply ingrain the vocabulary of the five habits in the minds of our church family, and to help you understand what you are supposed to do with them each and every day. So let me show you a fun way that we're going to help you learn this vocabulary. Back in the summer, one of our Antioch members battling cancer gave me a little gray bracelet to wear, and he said, every time you see that, I want you to pray for me. And I began to be shocked at how many times when I looked at that, I remembered him and prayed for him. You don't think you look at your wrist a lot. Folks, we look at our wrist all the time. We just don't know it. And so I had that on. I was shocked at how much I would pray for him, and I started using this as a reminder not just to pray for him, but pray for some of the other people in our church who are battling cancer. And I thought, well, is there a way that we could use that to help us as a church? And so we came up with this idea of creating our own bracelet. It has our little logo on it, and then it has all five habits inscribed on them. No super salad. All five of our habits on here. And at the end of our services today, we're going to encourage you who are present to pick one of these up and to wear it. Now, I know not everybody is going to wear that, okay? I know some of you, it does not fit the style that you're trying to cultivate. But we do encourage those of you who wish to wear it all the time. And just when you see that, think about it. Now, I said that those were available at the Ridgeview campus in our earlier service, and they were meant to be. They got shipped over there, but somehow some bags disappeared between the annex and Ridgeview this morning. So if you get on eBay this afternoon and you find people selling these, please let me know, and we will know who took our bags that were meant to get over there. And on our way out, you can grab one of these little silly silicone bracelets that can help us remember important things from one of our ushers. So that's one way that we're going to help, in just a very simple, fun way, ingrain the vocabulary of the habits. Another way is through a series of messages that we're going to kick off Sunday, September 10th, and the message series that we will be starting that day is called The 5S Life, and it will be a collection of character studies that focus on how the five habits are illustrated in the lives of some of the key personalities on the pages of Scripture. And so we will see how Abraham illustrates surrender, how Paul illustrates sustain. We'll see how Jeremiah illustrates sacrifice, how Peter illustrates sharing, and how Joseph from the Old Testament illustrates shining. And it is our hope that as we go through that, you will be able to attach these habits with people from God's Word and think about their lives as help for you in knowing what you're supposed to do with those habits. And the most important thing that we are going to be doing is kind of rephrasing how we talk about the habits in particular. And if you're a note filler outer, this is when you get to scratch that itch. Because there in your bulletin, we have some things listed of how we're kind of changing how we talk about the habits in some important ways. Turning them from just a statement of fact, Jesus' follower surrenders their earthly and eternal life to Jesus, into declarative statements. So, when we talk about surrender, we want to teach our people to declare, I will daily submit to Jesus as my King. Because ultimately, that is what surrender is. The call to salvation isn't a call to the sweet by and by as much as it is a call to relinquish control of all of our life to King Jesus. This is what it means to be a follower of Jesus. It is not just about grasping salvation. It is about yielding control of your life to a king other than yourself. This is what it means. When Jesus came proclaiming the kingdom, he wasn't saying, follow me so you can go to heaven when you die. He was saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He was establishing with his life a brand new kingdom. And so if we are living in that kingdom, Jesus is our king. And so King Jesus in the lives of his followers dictates their lives, dictates their values, dictates their decision making, dictates their actions. As king, I filter my entertainment choices through him. He has the authority to vent and to grant permission to the words I say. He is the editor of my social media feed. He is in charge of my spending habits. He is my king. This is what it means to live with Jesus as my king. And that is what surrender is all about. And you'll hear more about that in the coming year. From now on, when we talk about the Jesus follower habit of sustain, we're going to be declaring this. I will discipline myself to experience God's transforming power. I will discipline myself to experience God's transforming power. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. And I want you to let it make you a little uncomfortable. And now let me tell you why that has made you uncomfortable. It comes from the false notion that God's power to transform your life makes you a passive recipient and participant in that process. And that is simply not true. If we were meant to be passive in God's work of reshaping us into the life of Jesus, then think about this. There would be no command in Scripture. There would be nothing ethically, morally, spiritually, devotionally that Scripture would be calling us to do if we were intended to be passive recipients of what God has intended to do. We simply go about the Christian life believing that if anything different's going to happen to me, God's going to have to parachute in on my life, do something all by himself. We don't really think he will, but that's what's going to have to happen, and I just sit back and take it. But the scriptures are filled with indications that that is not true. Paul said in Philippians 2:12, "Work out your salvation with fear and trembling." Peter said in 1 Peter 2:2, "Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation." John said in 1 John 3:10, "Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God." Jude said in Jude 21, "Keep yourselves in the love of God." And all of this is just a reflection of what Jesus said in Luke 9:23 when he said, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Everywhere you want to look in Scripture, you hear, you see, you understand that the Christian life is not a passive endeavor. That's why we don't speak of being a Christian at Blue Valley Baptist Church, or use the phrase born again, even though both of those words show up in the New Testament. We use the phrase to identify Christians that is far more prevalent from the mouth of Jesus himself, and that is that of a follower. We speak of following Jesus. And to do that, we must discipline ourselves by the instruction of Scripture to experience God's transforming power. Now, the word discipline calls to mind what have classically been called the spiritual disciplines, things that you've heard about, like Bible reading and prayer, but other things that have historically been the practices of Jesus followers, like silence, and like meditation, and like fasting. These things by themselves don't conjure up power. They're not magic chants that you engage in to force God, to pry from God what you want God to do in your life. But these practices have historically been recognized as things which help us connect to the life of God so that the life of God then can flow into our lives and we experience transforming power. That does not happen as you come to church on Sunday morning for an hour and sit back and let it happen. Let me tell you something. Open windows is not going to cut it. Let me say something else. I love Oswald Chambers. But spending 2 minutes of your day reading what God did in the life of someone 150 years ago is not going to transform your life into the image of Jesus today. There has to be discipline. And it's not hard. Centuries of Christians have known what to do. We have an era of Christianity that doesn't. And we're going to be invested as a church in helping us understand those things. From now on, when we think about the habit of sacrifice, we're going to be declaring, "I will offer my life to God and people beyond what is comfortable." Now, this is the very essence of sacrifice. At some point, we've started to think that God wants us all wrapped up in swaddling clothes and being cuddled and cooed at and told we're cute all the time. That's what it means, we think, to be a follower of Jesus. But listen, Jesus did not call us to be warm and safe and well-fed. If you don't believe me, talk to any Christian that does not have a U.S. zip code. He just simply did not call us to that. Following Jesus is inherently risky. And that risk starts with allowing yourself to simply feel uncomfortable. And we struggle with being uncomfortable at all. Let me give you from the life of our church how that has manifested itself. Back in July, we encouraged families to take Sunday night, set it aside, and just build relationships with your neighbors. Just build relationships with your neighbors. Not turning into a revival meeting, not saying, okay, everybody sit down and I'm going to give you a gospel presentation. Just get to know your neighbors and build relationships, and let's see where God might be able to use those. You can count on two hands how many families out of the 850 or so that we had last week. One hand, how many families actually did that. But guess what? Out of those less than 10 families, we made over 100 contacts. 100 contacts, built relationships with 100 or more people that we wouldn't have otherwise, that were never going to darken necessarily the doors of our church. We just got to know them. Why didn't we do that? Well, I'm busy. Or I'm just really not comfortable. Because you hadn't taken time to get to know people you've lived around forever. I'm just not really comfortable. I mean, people just didn't want to do it because they were comfortable. It's like we ask you to martyr yourself to do this. And it's really just a simple, simple thing. So it starts with just being willing to be uncomfortable. For some of you, it might be as simple as becoming more vocal about your faith. But for others, it might be as risky as serving someone who has hurt you in your past. Or it might mean moving past praying for others to go on mission trips or funding other people to go on mission trips and going yourself. Or it might mean volunteering a Saturday a month to serve at the Johnson County Juvenile Detention Center with Cooking with the King, which is a long-standing ministry to juvenile detainees that our church has been a part of. And you're going to hear a great story about what God has done long-term when we have our missions celebration in November. But we have to allow for any of that to happen, God to let us be uncomfortable. From now on, when we think about the habit of shining, we're going to be declaring, I will reflect the life of Christ as I engage the cultures around me. Not culture, but cultures around me. We no longer live in a monoculture. There are any number of cultures. Right here, we are suburban Christianity. 100 yards that way, we're Islamic. Right here in the heart of Overland Park. We no longer engage in a monoculture. We are in a variety of cultures. And in order for us to make a difference, we're going to have to engage those cultures with the life of Jesus, reflecting that. Last week at our Critical Issues Forum, Philip Bethencourt of the ERLC challenged us with the observation that Christians no longer have home field advantage in our culture. That means that every conversation you have, every engagement you have with the world around you is as an outsider. And as an outsider, your goal is to reflect the life of Jesus in the spirit with which you engage, in the tone with which you engage, and quite frankly, with the message that you engage. Your message, we need to understand this, and my message is not a political message or even a religious message. Our message is from a king and a kingdom, not of this world. And one of the biggest problems we have in engaging our world is that our message as evangelicals is no longer distinctly Christian. It is covered by layers of socio-political religious nonsense that is utterly unrecognizable as biblical Christianity. So we're going to have to work with the shine habit by helping our church family reflect the life of Jesus as we engage the cultures around us. And then finally, from now on, when we think about the habit of sharing, we're going to be declaring, I will share my story of following Jesus wherever God positions me. Wherever God positions me. We want to help everyone understand that as Jesus followers, wherever you are there because God intends you to share the message of Jesus. You know, sometimes it is really lame having a pastor, as a father or father-in-law. But I have told my kids, as they've purchased houses, as they have rented apartments. Abby and her fiance have rented the apartment they're going to live in Minneapolis, God-forsaken Minneapolis, after they get married. I have told them, you're not in that apartment, you're not in that house because you want a bidding war or because it was convenient for your schedule or you liked the schools. You are in that house because God intends you to reach somebody for Jesus right there around you. That's why you're there. That's what Julie and I took on ourselves when our nest officially became empty and we sold the house in which the kids grew up and we moved to an area more centrally located for our two jobs. We knew going in there are people around us that need Jesus. And so that's why ultimately we are here. Wherever you are, you have been placed there. Because God intends to use you as his kingdom outpost to reach the people around you. So we want to help people understand that our homes are to be platforms for the message of Jesus. And our work is to be platforms for the message of Jesus. That where we attend school is to be a platform for the message of Jesus. Basically, we want to develop an understanding that our King hasn't placed us anywhere accidentally. And that our purpose for being here is to share the good news of Jesus. So what are we doing in the coming church year? Hopefully some really exciting ministries, seeing what God might do in Lewisburg, seeing a growing opportunity at Rolling Ridge Elementary in Olathe, seeing more people come to both of our campuses, celebrating the surge in attendance that God is bringing our way. All of those are really cool. But here's what we're doing. We're helping our church family know the five habits of a Jesus follower, and to understand what you're supposed to do with them. So if you're